Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time for Below Grade Level. Put that 17 magazine away and listen to this.
Hello and welcome to Below Grade Level, the show where we take the books that we read as kids and read them as adults and ruin them. I'm one of your hosts, Jonathan Eaton. With me as always is Becca Eaton.
Hello.
And Chris Zaleski.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Reading Fearless by Francine Pascal. I think I'm saying that name correctly. Joining us, continuing down this fearless road, is returning champion Huey Hessen. Hello, Huey.
Hello, hello. Sorry, buenos tardes. I'm learning Spanish.
Nice.
Gracias. Oh,
buenas.
A kindred spirit.
That's all I know. Sorry. That's it.
That's about it.
Yeah, it's like my second lesson.
You'll get there.
Maybe one day.
I appreciate that you didn't ask us how we are.
I
didn't know how to answer it. And I was like, oh, good. He skipped it.
I'm going to stop doing that for a while.
Yeah.
Until the pros outweigh the cons again.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm not going to ask anyone how they are because I know what the answer is.
Yeah.
The answer is real bad.
Well, for the listener's benefit, I don't know if I sound different. I can't tell if I sound different, but I do feel like I'm coming down with something. So if I sound different this episode, that's why.
I think you sound fine.
You sound good to me.
Yeah.
How do
you look great
together,
too.
I took some DayQuil.
I feel like your voice sounds a lot better than it did when I came home.
Yeah. When Becca came home, my voice was like, I hadn't talked since coming home, and it was because I spent like an hour and a half in the car the entire time. I was just singing as loud as I could, and I straight up blew my fucking voice out like really hard. And so when she came home, I was like, hey, welcome home. Oh, yeah. God. Oh, no.
It sounded like you'd been at a concert. He's going to knock that monitor over with his stupid body, with his big bowling ball body.
Let me cat-proof this room for a second. There we go.
So you're not talking about me. Okay.
Huey.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I love being here.
Me too. I love having you here.
Thank you.
Fearless by Francine Pascal. Have you ever heard of it?
Prior to this, like 5 minutes ago, absolutely not. No.
Yeah. Good. Good because it's really, really, really crazy. And I'm excited for you to read it because, what have we read? We read Kid Midas with you. 'Cause that was your suggestion.
Yes. And my teacher is an alien.
Are those the only two times you've been on before?
Those are the only two that are jumping to my brain.
Yeah,
so I think
so.
This is my third.
Okay. 'Cause this is great. Like, both of those had the same like kind of energy, like skewing slightly younger. I'm excited for you to get to read something really weird with us, because
weirder than Kid Midas.
I was about to say Kid Midas was.
I mean,
he sent a kid to hell.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say that one skewed that young.
That's true. Oh man, that was so good.
He made a girl tidy and put her in a backpack and then threw the backpack.
And then put her in a hamster cage.
Yeah.
Fuck, okay, never mind. I take it all back. That book was so fucking weird. Okay, let me rephrase this. I hope this lives up to what you've read before.
I think it will, just in different ways.
Yes.
Yeah.
Becca, catch Huey and the listener up on what happened last time on Fearless.
Sure. Last time, we started off with Gaia walking around, like, really desperately trying to get in a fight. And no one was taking the bait until she walked down some like little skinny street and three skinheads started following her and she got all excited. She really wanted to beat them up. She was like, I don't like this about myself, but she was just like craving violence.
I like to punch people.
So the fight like barely gets started when her friend Ed Fargo from school, who uses a wheelchair, showed up and was like defending her honor.
Yeah.
Like defending her life, really, because one of the Nazis had a knife. He was trying to keep them from killing her because he doesn't know she's a superhero fucking vigilante.
Yeah.
And she gets really mad because she doesn't want anyone to know her secret. So she just beats them all up anyway because otherwise they'd fucking kill
Ed. They would have killed both of them, yeah.
We also had another scene of her. After she fights, she has regain her strength. Like,
yeah.
She literally crumples into a little pile on the ground. She can barely speak. She can't like stand or move at all. It's like her stamina core is depleted and she can't move or function. And the whole time Ed's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? Are you okay? Yeah. What's wrong? And she's just like regaining her strength from using all her adrenaline to fight. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Unless they explain it in a later book, it makes no sense.
It's like,
it's like because she's so like, she's not held back by fear.
Yeah.
It's like she gives more in a fight, more adrenaline or something, but that just doesn't really make any sense.
I don't think so. I don't think there's a scientific basis, but I'm sure when you're writing it, it sounds good.
Yeah. Because those Nazis booked it out of there. They weren't crumpled to the ground.
But they were scared.
Draining their batteries.
They felt fear.
So the fear powers you to move? I don't know. And lack of fear makes you sleepy?
Yeah.
I have been in a fight before, and you do kind of crash out afterwards.
What were you to fight?
When I was younger.
And we don't talk about it. And the second rule is we don't talk about it.
I once picked a fight with an entire Halloween party. It did not end well for me.
What? Chris, you and I picked a fight with a guy at that place in Hamden. God, why can't I think of it?
Golden West.
Do you remember that?
We weren't picking a fight. We were calling someone out on their bullshit.
No, we were drunk and we
not, you weren't like really Gaia walking around.
No,
like,
no. But that's the closest I've ever come to picking a fight, because we were drunk and that guy was being a dick and we got in his face really hard to the point where afterwards I was like, what happened to me?
I really wanted him to take a swing at me.
I know. So did I.
Oh boy. Also, there was like an email or something that I think we just saw in the narration.
Oh.
2L from ELJ.
Oh, yes.
So like two people are observing
there's
her.
There's like surveillance going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of surveillance, we also have a scene of Marco and whatever lady he was talking to at the fountain.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's
and they're
CIA
in a Chinese
lady.
Restaurant.
Sexy redhead lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we get confirmed that
Honeypot.
Yeah. We get confirmed that he's a Nazi and that I think they keep calling her a girl, which is why I write girl.
Yeah.
But I'm picturing an adult woman.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Because I don't know why a teenager would be doing this. But she is getting Marco to spy. She's getting Marco to, like, spy on Gaia, but also leave her alone.
Yeah.
Like, and try to get the Nazis to not go after her again.
Yeah.
So Gaia's, like, under her protection for some reason. And we learn that Gaia is a virgin loser. She's never been kissed. And she's really fucking awkward, and she stands in the coffee shop staring at this guy, picturing kissing him for
so long
that she ends up spilling a whole hot coffee on a girl from school named Heather.
That's right. She's like holding a coffee.
Who gets really mad at her because she's so awkward.
She was like in trance, and then someone was like, hey. And she was like,
Yeah. And then the girl turned around and is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And Gaia just stands there and doesn't apologize because she's insane.
Yeah.
So Heather gets really mad at her, but then... Later on, Ed invites Gaia to a party at Heather's friend's house.
Bum, bum, bum.
And also, Ed doesn't know that she's... I don't... Oh, God, this pen's stuck in my shirt. Ed doesn't know that she is CIA trained.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know about her fear gene situation.
Yeah, the line.
But he does now know that she can beat people up.
Yes.
So.
Which she was trying to avoid.
My back itches. Okay, I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Before we dive into reading, I had a real quick show and tell. And unfortunately, I don't think Becca or I will be able to hear this because of the way Zoom is set up. But hopefully, Huey and Chris can.
Was this a thing you sent that I didn't watch?
You didn't watch it?
No.
You'll just have to...
I was somewhere.
You'll just have to imagine... how awesome this is. So this is the unaired...
Oh, that's 40 minutes long.
Well, we're not going to watch the whole thing. This is the unaired pilot, Fearless, created for, the CW or something,
yeah.
Starring Rachel Lee Cook.
I think it was still the WB at the time.
The WB, yeah. Can you guys hear that?
My name is Gaia Moore.
No, I can't
cannot.
Hear it.
I'm 23.
Oh, you can't hear it?
I'm an FBI agent.
No.
And I have a secret.
I don't know.
No.
I did share sound.
But I did read online that they aged her
up. Who are those babies? Ooh.
Whoa.
That's creepy. I don't like the crash zoom into a baby. Oh, my God.
Didn't scare me at all.
Oh, I can hear
it. Oh, there we go.
My parents thought something was wrong with me, so so they had me checked out. In the end, it was less about what they found and more about what they didn't find.
I think I discovered the reason why this wasn't picked up for series. For she's not good at acting.
What does it mean to be fearless? Basically, fear makes the body produce adrenaline. People lose their peripheral vision, coordination, the ability to think.
You lose your peripheral vision when you're scared?
Apparently.
The genetic defect that I am, that doesn't happen to me. Instead, my senses, strength, and reflexes are all heightened. Being fearless, I do things an otherwise normal person would think twice about doing. I'm not crazy.
Also, like, why is its intro so dark?
I just don't feel it.
Yeah.
Remember,
it was a dark time.
Self-preservation. They call this fight or flight.
This also feels like
I wasn't given the choice.
I don't even know. Some sort of like treatment. I guess. I mean, I know this is a pilot.
Yeah.
But, like, cool. It's not like that's the intro to the show. That's so boring.
Yeah. That would. Yeah. That would certainly
that can't
be like,
your intro.
There's no. Yeah. I don't think there's a credit sequence. That's just. Yeah.
Yeah.
The
they wanted
episode.
To make that alias money. I can
tell you this. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They really did. Well, and as Becca found this information on a previous episode. But I'm not like everyone this book else. Series went on for a little while, and so the TV show is not about a girl in high school. It's about her, like, a little bit older, working for the CIA.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say they must have aged her up because she's just like, yeah, okay,
yeah, they aged her up. But anyway, this is Fearless. You can, if you're listening, you can find this on YouTube. You can just type in Fearless Pilot, and you can watch the whole fucking thing. I did not watch the entire thing. I just watched enough to know that it's really bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
True. Oh, I enjoyed that. I'm going to go back and watch it. I need to know what happened.
I need to know what happens in Fearless.
I just realized that my... There we go. Now I'm not looking up the whole time like some sort of dork.
Jeez. I've seen Huey's setup, but I was like, that's too many monitors.
Yeah.
How many monitors do you have?
Trace.
That's about how many I have if you count my laptop.
Yeah, but like one of them's like higher up and everything, and
it's like your command center. Do you ever say I'm in?
Oh, constantly.
Every time you open a new browser tab,
yeah.
I'm in.
Place an order on Amazon. I'm in.
I'm in.
All right. So she was just invited to a party at Heather's. And I know what the name of this next chapter is, and it's amazing. So here, let's get into reading Fearless. This chapter is called Klutz Girl Strikes Again.
Oh, no.
What in the world was she doing? Gaia walked extra fast along 7th Avenue, past Bleecker, past the duplex psychic shop blazing with neon, past the shop, one of many, that pierced you any place you could think of. Oh, okay. Pierced you any place you could think of. Oh, the shop was... I don't know.
Okay.
Past the bustling gay bars on Christopher Street.
Nice.
As much as she despised getting railroaded into a stupid party full of people she was sure to hate. Jesus Christ, Gaia. There was a small but unsquashable part of her that was happy to be out on a Saturday night with someplace to go. She was going because she wasn't afraid of Heather and because she really didn't have anything else to do. But she was mostly going because Ed had asked her. He was the first person in her entire high school career who'd cut through her defenses long enough to ask her to a party. He was the first person she hadn't succeeded in scaring off in spite of her usual efforts. The party was at 25 West 15th Street. Ugh, New York, get it together. West... meant west... Oh, my... Oh, okay. Well, here's a handy guide for us non-New Yorkers. West meant west of 5th Avenue, but not by much, so she hung a right at 15th. Weeks ago, before she'd even moved here. You never notice how, like, anything set or from or based in, like, L.A., they're obsessed with, like, the highways and, like, the streets by way of car. But also, like, anything in New York, they're obsessed with, like... the streets, like, but as like a walkable thing.
It's like they have to prove they know the city that they're writing about.
Yeah. But even like, oh yeah, but even the
I
people
took a
that are
jaunt
there,
down
like,
12th and then turned on 13th.
It just lets me know I can check out mentally for a few minutes because I'm not going to retain that information and it doesn't matter.
I just like, I want to write a novel and set it in like Towson.
Yeah.
And be like, I was walking down Goucher Boulevard when I turned right onto Taylor.
And I was hit by a car.
Right? Yeah.
Not very pedestrian friendly.
No.
What I was looking for.
Where can you walk on Goucher?
Yeah. I was looking
ironically,
for
I was
exit.
Hit by a bunch of flower crosses on the side of the road.
Just scoop up the flower crosses and throw them on your body.
Jesus. Oh, man. Weeks ago, before she'd even moved here, she'd committed a map of Lower Manhattan to her near-perfect visual memory. So she's also got, like, a photographic memory. We haven't talked about this before. She glanced down at her dark jeans and trashed sneakers. It would be impossible to tell from looking at her that she had spent over an hour getting dressed. She put on some... But I recall that she didn't give a shit... she didn't have any pair of pants she gave a shit about.
But she's got pants.
But she's got pants. And it took her an hour to get dressed.
She's got some pants. She just doesn't like them.
Yeah. What a conundrum. She put on
That's
some...
That's when it's harder to get dressed when you don't like your clothes.
Because everything
Nothing's
you wear, you're like, I don't
out
like
at
this,
you.
I don't like this. Yeah. She put on some mascara, then washed it off. She tried on three pairs of nearly identical jeans before finally closing her eyes and grabbing a pair randomly. She'd even changed her socks. Her one lasting concession to beauty was buried under shoes and carefully chosen socks. Toenail polish in a hue called cockroach. What the fuck are you talking about, Gaia? Okay. Do you think
so?
Brown?
She is afraid of fashion.
I'm picturing like a dark, like brown,
yeah,
blackish brown,
like an almost black brown,
yeah,
shiny, like sickly bad brown.
Yeah. I feel like there were a lot of nail polish companies in the '90s that did stuff that was like that, like real grungy stuff.
Yeah. Asphalt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As the address grew nearer, she spied one of the things she most disliked about New York residential life: a doorman.
Oh, how horrible. How much did you have to pay a guy to dress up in a butt ugly polyester suit and an embarrassing hat and open your damn door? And where were the door women anyway? She hadn't seen a single one since she'd been here.
She's practicing her tight five.
Yeah. Maybe she'd change her life's ambition from waitress to door woman. Door woman. It sounded like some postmodern urban superhero. She is insane. The more time we spend in her inner monologue, the more I'm like, there's something fucking wrong with her.
It's wild.
Of course, this particular doorman wanted to know her name and whose apartment she felt privileged enough to visit. I think that's basically what they're supposed to do.
That's their main job.
Ed Fargo, she told him, visiting Allison Rovitz in apartment 12C. The door fellow gave her a once-over. I like door fellow. You don't look like an Ed. Tell my parents that. It's a real burden, she told him. He shook his head as though wishing he never had to speak to another scruffy, attitude-wielding 17-year-old as long as he lived.
Poor guy.
Yeah. He consulted his list, then waved a hand toward the inner lobby. Go ahead. Why are there any door women? She nearly shouted after him as the elevator door closed. I wish she had yelled it as
she
it
knew.
Was closing.
I wish she'd also done it. Trust your instincts, guy. Yeah. You're not afraid of anything.
Right? The party in 12C could be heard throughout 12, from what Gaia could tell. She felt her muscles tense at the shrieks of laughter and loud buzz of conversation spilling into the hallway. This was kind of a momentous event. Although her capacity for nervousness was nil, her capacity for insecurity was all there. She tucked some hair behind her ear. Just some. She just grabbed some hair and shoved it back there. She took a deep breath and pushed open the unlocked door. What was she expecting exactly? Some deeply narcissistic part of her thought everybody in the place would know that even though she was a junior, she had never been to a real high school party before. They would fall silent and turn to stare at her. In fact, the only difference between before she had come and after was that there was one more beating heart in a very crowded apartment.
Here's what I want to know. aren't fear, like, nervousness and insecurity kind of tied together a little bit?
I would think so. My social anxiety, I've always thought of more as a fear of people than anything else.
And like, if you're nervous about something, it's because you're afraid. You're at least partially afraid of something. And if you're feeling insecure, it's because you're afraid of like how people view you. So not trying to
pick apart the science.
I was just going to say, not trying to pick apart this book, and I was like, but that's literally all we do.
Yeah.
Well, we established in the previous episode that, like, she's not fearless, she's a psychopath, and her dad dextered her.
That's true. Okay.
Like, I'm going to train you to be a killer.
The whole adrenaline thing is a part of anxiety. Like, they'll give you beta blockers for anxiety to slow your heart down.
God. Yeah.
All right, here we go.
She just needs some beta blockers. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okie doke. Yes, here she was. Suddenly, she was sure she'd been born with an extra gene for social awkwardness. Time to find the real Ed Fargo and hope he still thought she was entertaining. She squeezed past a knot of people in the foyer who didn't care about her at all. In the living room, she recognized a girl from her history class, a couple of guys who had lockers near hers. Every flat surface was covered with soda cans and beer cans in about equal number, so only half the party was drunk. A lot of people were smoking, mostly girls. On a table in the corner were raw carrots and dip and smoking some unappealing hot chips and salsa. What chips and salsa are ever unappealing?
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
I just realized who would be better at playing her than Rachel Lee Cook.
Who?
Aubrey Anyone Plaza. Else?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
She'd
basically April from Parks and Rec.
If April was a vigilante.
If she was Daredevil.
The meager food table was quickly being taken over by cans and cans and cans and makeshift ashtrays. Were anybody's parents here? Okay, narc.
Right?
She'd heard that New York City parents let their kids drink at parties because nobody drove anywhere afterward. The sweet, suffocating smell of marijuana made its way over. She zeroed in on the little clutch of people passing around the joint before she turned and walked in the opposite direction. She had less than no time for that. I'm going to read that sentence again.
Wait till you get to the next one.
Oh, God.
She had less than no time for that. Mm-hmm. Were those kids really so confident in their sanity they could tempt fate?
Sanity?
The devil's lettuce? When she finally caught sight of Ed's wheelchair in the dining room, because heaven forbid we forget that he's handicapped.
I don't remember what he looks like. Do we know his hair color?
I don't remember.
Well, no, he's just a chair.
He's just a chair with a Crispin Glover voice coming out of it.
Yeah. I'm just picturing Crispin Glover. Yeah.
She stifled the strong urge to sprint over to him and give him a hug. She walked toward him as slowly as she could manage, as though expecting to encounter...
That sounds really awkward.
That sounds so awkward.
It took 10 minutes to get over there.
Everyone's like, man, that girl is way more stoned than we are. Yeah. Look how slow she's walking.
Maybe we shouldn't smoke.
Guys, are we tempting fate?
She walked toward him as slowly as she could manage, as though expecting to encounter hordes of friends and acquaintances along the way. Gaia was shy.
Gaia
it's
was
almost
Shia.
As if you experience fear.
Chris, did you hear what I said?
Yes, Shia. She'd forgotten that about herself, but she was. She was more comfortable beating the crap out of somebody than chatting about the weather. She could be sullen and obnoxious and irritable all day long, but she couldn't think of a single way to start a friendly conversation. Hi, Ed. She said lamely once she was near.
Gaia! Holy shit! Yeah. He smiled big. You actually came! I never miss a party, she said wryly. Wow, you look great. No, I don't. Okay, you don't. Hey, this is Claire. He pointed at a long-haired Asian girl he'd been talking to. Claire, this is Gaia. Claire waved and smiled. She was smoking a cigarette.
Scandalous.
And this is Mary. Mary, Gaia, etc. Mary was tall, with wavy red hair. She waved in a perfunctory way and took a swig of beer.
But what was her ethnicity?
How can we know?
Irish.
Irish? Okay. She's definitely Irish.
Okay. You're new here, right?
Wait, no, Claire's Asian.
Oh, shit. I fucked it up. I can't. No, no. All no, right. You're well, new here, right? Yes, Gaia answered. Where are you from? Claire wanted to know. Ed shifted in his chair. Gaia cleared her throat. Memphis. It was a lie. She didn't want to play the "oh, really, do you know" game about any place she had actually lived. Really?
But what if they know someone in Memphis?
Yeah, I mean, like, oh, here we go. Really? I have a cousin in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Claire responded predictably. In Johnson City. Oh! Gaia nodded blankly. Suddenly, there was a swell of noise from the direction of the front door. All eyes turned. Hey, Gaia, check it out, Ed said. It's your best friend. Gaia gave him a mean look. It was Heather and friends, the same group from the cafe, plus a couple of Hollywood extras. Heather really was beautiful when she wasn't snarling. Judging from the energy she had... Wait. Judging from the energy she and her crowd brought into the apartment with them, the party had only started at that moment. Claire studied the group carefully. I guess Heather didn't bring her boyfriend. Too bad. That guy is altogether hot.
Altogether.
Mary looked unimpressed. He's a college man. He goes to NYU.
That's Scottish.
I'm sorry.
It was perfect.
I'm on the spot. What's his name again?
Still Scottish.
It's super Scottish. It's super Scottish.
You can do Scottish and I'll do Irish because like, I cannot do Scottish. And I can only do Irish if I go, oh, Carrie says, oh. Carrie says he doesn't like coming to high school parties.
Carrie?
Yeah. Carrie. I don't know.
Carrie.
Oh, wait, the girl? Girl Carrie or he's boy Carrie?
Oh, girl Carrie.
Oh, okay.
I guess we haven't met Carrie. Of course, Heather would have a gorgeous, snotty boyfriend who is in college. Of course. Gaia could only imagine what kind of asshole the guy must be to choose Heather as a girlfriend.
A curse word?
This book is full of curse words. It's great.
Woo.
It's like we're getting away with something, Chris. I guess we're blessed even to have Heather, Gaia mumbled, instantly cursing herself for being snide. Mary glanced at Gaia appreciatively. Is Mary the Irish one? I can't remember who's who.
Yes,
Claire's yes. Not Irish.
Mary's a very Irish name.
That's true.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yes.
Mary.
I mean, who better to make the rest of us feel... She's boiling. Take her off the fucking roof. Who better to make the rest of us feel fat and friendless?
Gaia laughed and felt a surge of something. Optimism,
attraction?
Was it? Camaraderie. Remember last episode when she stared at a boy and was just like, my loins?
Yeah.
She felt like a stirring. Optimism, was it? Hope? Social acceptance? She wasn't sure exactly. It was so unfamiliar. But here she was, maladjusted freak thing Gaia Moore. Jesus Christ. Gabbing with people who could very easily have been her friends was utterly alien, but not in a bad way. Only now, she had to try to think of something else to say. Heather led the wave of party energy through the living room toward the dining room and, no doubt, the kitchen, where the beers were waiting. Gaia wondered, a bit warily, if Heather would recognize her. I think she absolutely will recognize
yeah.
you. You spilled an entire coffee on her yesterday. As it turned out, she did.
Yep.
Oh my god, Heather shrieked, wheeling around to face Gaia straight on. It's Klutz Girl! What are you doing here? Suddenly, all eyes really were on Gaia. Her social success was evaporating quickly. I would watch out for that girl, Heather warned loudly. Don't give her anything to eat or drink, or you'll end up with it on your shirt. Heather's friends tittered joyfully. That's what tittering sounds like.
Loyally.
Who let you in here? Heather demanded. Jesus Christ. Gaia studied the small place on the girl's neck just below her chin. She could deliver...
Oh, no.
One swift blow to that spot and put her out.
She fucking, is a psycho.
Fucking do it. Do it,
oh
Gaia.
Oh, my God. Karate chop her neck and then run away.
Put her down, Gaia.
Oh, God. Just like real quick. Just.
I just want her to punch everyone that she's awkward in front of. I invited her, Ed said, filling the awkward silence at least momentarily. Excuse me, Ed, Heather said nastily. I didn't realize it was your party. I didn't realize it was yours, Ed responded.
Oh, dip.
Allison, the actual party giver, was watching the scene unfold with the rest of them. Heather turned to her. Al, did you realize this bitch was coming to your party? Damn. Poor Allison looked frightened. Don't worry about it, Allison. I'm going, Gaia said. She strode through the apartment without looking back. It didn't matter so much that she was back on the outside, Gaia consoled herself as she opened the front door and passed through it. This was Heather's time. Let her have it.
Oh!
10 years from now, Heather's awfulness would have caught up with her, and she'd be a disgruntled wretch pining for her glory days. Let her have high school. Gaia was holding out for something better.
Damn, Gaia!
Damn, Gaia. East.
Gaia stood sullenly at the elevator bank and punched the down arrow. Mercifully, the elevator doors opened right away. At least she was back in her comfort zone.
Elevators.
Yeah.
Elevators. This is an interesting...
Oh.
I think the last page was short, so you should read
okay,
this.
Okay, I'll read this. Yeah. Okay. Some things I like. Chess, Slurpees, Roadrunner cartoons, eye boogers, sure, W.B. Yeats, and Ed. I like Yeats. Eye boogers is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Some things I don't like. Heather, Ella, skim milk, butterflies, baking soda toothpaste, myself. A thing I hate. My dad.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Man. She probably listens to 3 Days Grace.
What is baking soda toothpaste?
It's super bitter.
I've never used it. I know you can use baking soda as toothpaste or...
Oh,
like,
ew.
Mix it up yourself.
Ugh.
I guess they sell it that way.
Yeah, I bought it from Trader Joe's once to see what it was like. And it, my friend who likes Malort said it was the worst thing he's ever tasted. What's so there's that. It's like a nightmarishly flavored alcoholic beverage.
Is it like, that shit, Fernet Blanca? Or Fernet Branca?
I don't know if it tastes the same, but I picture... I know if I hate Fernet, I'll hate Malort. But I don't know if anyone even likes Malort. It seems like a joke.
Do you have to wear a fedora when you order Malort?
You have to go with Malort.
Malorty?
All right, we have a little aside here. Meeting Sam Moon. Rain plastered thick, dark cords of hair to his forehead. Now that it was no longer perfect, she could see it was beautiful.
Sam Moon is an awesome name.
Yeah.
That sounds like the name of a guy she'd fucking pine after.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing on the page. All right. People like him.
Or
the name of the chapter.
Or people like him.
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 That sounds like a political slogan from like the 30s.
People like him.
Vote for Houlihan. People like him.
Hi, Zolov. The old man squinted at Gaia for a few seconds before he recognized her, and then he smiled. Hey, Curtis, she said to Zolov's opponent. Where's Rennie? The 15-year-old chess fixture shrugged. He hasn't been coming around anymore. I have no idea who's talking. Gaia nodded and looked for a free table, but I imagine she's back with the chess misfits.
Mm-hmm.
She was happy to be there, even without Rennie. She was glad that the bleak sky threatened rain and that the air was finally turning cold. All that warm sunshine seemed to demand perkiness and pastel-colored clothing. She watched Curtis leaning far over the board, studying Zolov's sequence. She almost laughed to herself. She couldn't believe she was watching an ancient Jewish man in a threadbare wool overcoat teaching the Roy Lopez opening to a black kid dressed head to toe in Tommy.
Is she 80 years old?
I don't know.
She turned her affectionate gaze to the right, and suddenly her mood went into free fall. Him. What the hell was he doing here? God, he was good looking. He was wearing that same gray jacket, this time with a pair of jeans and just the right shade of dark, perfectly scuffed leather shoes. Go away, she ordered him silently. Go back to where you belong. He didn't go away. Instead, he came very close, and her mouth felt dry. Why did she all of a sudden care that she hadn't run a brush through her hair that morning? So she looked like a homeless person. What was it to him? Oh, shit. He was looking at the board set in front of her. His eyes glanced over the empty chair across from her. He was stopping.
Get a grip.
What a great page.
She cannot.
Oh, my God.
I ad-libbed none of that.
No, but you delivered it really well.
Yeah, perfect. You're painting a real picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, you get what you pay for.
He was sitting down. He was staring right at her. Then she felt mad. What? Was he on some kind of field trip from normal people land?
What?
Was he the Jane Goodall of the popular set, here to take notes? It didn't help that just a few days before he'd appeared uninvited in her romantic fantasy and kissed her, for God's sake. Do you want to play? He asked, just like that.
Oh, was he the boyfriend from the coffee shop?
I don't know who the fuck this is. Because there was the boyfriend at the coffee shop she was fantasizing about, but then there's also a guy at the chess park that she was, like, staring at, and I don't know if they're the same person.
I don't know. I think this is just...
I hope this is Sam Moon.
This is just Chess Hottie.
Yeah.
I hope. Sam Moon? Okay. He wanted to play her. What? Didn't he know that it was illegal for in a cosmic sense for a guy who looked like him even to get near a board? The gods of social stratification would zap him, but good.
She's 80.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned this last time.
Yeah, she does say very outdated phrases.
Her manner of speech is fucking wild.
Yeah.
Fine. If he insisted on turning the whole world upside down, what could she do? She'd play him. She'd point out to him which pieces moved which way, as though she'd only recently learned. As though she'd only recently learned herself, and then she'd hustle as much money out of him as possible. Dude, this is the work of a sociopath.
This guy's too hot. Something's wrong. I'll just steal his money and leave.
Oh, I love him so much. She's I better take him down a couple of pegs, this piece of shit.
She could probably get two or three fast games out of him before the rain began to fall.
Good Lord.
Hello? He scrunched down a little in his chair to try and gain eye contact. What? She blurted out irritably. You want to play? She was so flustered, she couldn't pluck one arrow from her quiver of hustling tricks. Fine. Don't feel like you have to. Oh, wasn't he just honorable?
Oh my God.
No, it's fine. I only just started playing myself. God, she sounded wooden. Her acting really needed some work. Oh, maybe it was intentional in the show. Her acting.
Oh, yeah. Maybe she was just hustling us in the narration.
It's a meta.
What a deep performance.
Yeah. She's a real genius.
Okay. You start, right? No. I mean, I think. Mm. Well, we usually... Damn it. She took a black pawn and a white one and mixed them up behind her back. She enclosed them in a fist and stuck them out towards him. You pick.
He pointed to her left hand and she produced a white pawn. You go first, she said. He looked tentative. It's kind of a custom to play for money here, isn't it? Custom? Yes, it is, oh great doctor of losers.
Huh?
That wasn't spoken, just so you know. That
okay,
was what she
thank
thought.
God. One of also, these issues is going to say some of this weird shit out loud.
Yeah. Oh
my God. O looks like a zero.
Yeah, I feel like it needs like an apostrophe or something yeah. to...
Yes, it is zero, great doctor of losers. Usually was what she said. How much? I don't know. 20? He blew out his breath. Wow.
Pretty
okay.
steep. I don't know.
Okay. What was it about him that bothered her so? That he was the kind of guy who'd never look twice at a girl like her? Okay. Well, there was that. She couldn't find major fault with his wardrobe. It was like he was wearing a... It wasn't like he was wearing a Rolex or anything. She didn't hate him just because he looked like... ... Even she wasn't quite that shallow or rabidly judgmental. Are you sure, though?
Oh, my Gaia, God.
You are one of the most judgmental protagonists we have ever read.
Yes.
Holy shit. What was it, then? He was so... confident. That was the big problem. Here, in her place, where he
maybe
had
he
no
just
right
didn't
to
have
be.
Rampant, untreated social anxiety like she does.
Oh, God. Rampant, untreated. That's amazing. Here, in her place, where he had no right to be, he was so goddamn sure of himself. He probably had no sense of humor, least of all, about himself. She couldn't wait to kick his ass.
At chess or, like, physically? Or both?
I'm not quite sure. That was just the end of the chapter.
Okay. The fire hose test. Sam
Gross.
Moon... I know. I don't want to know what that means. Sam Moon wasn't sure what to make of this girl. He'd sat down at her board because she was new, and that always represented an opportunity. Well, okay, that wasn't the only reason. Everyone gets this weird, rambly inner monologue.
Yeah, well, what do you think
well,
about like
let
that?
Me, let me back up a little.
I don't know, hang on, yeah.
Another reason was that in spite of her somewhat disastrous personal hygiene, she was pretty.
What?
A pretty girl at it, because she didn't unshallowed? Brush her hair? I don't know.
Damn, man.
You smell terrible. Want to play?
A pretty girl at a chessboard wasn't your everyday sight. He hadn't even realized just how pretty until he was within a couple of feet and had a chance to really look. Really get in there. Some friends of his from high school used to rate a girl's attractiveness by what was known as the fire hose test.
Go on. Go on.
If the girl's looks were all about makeup and hair and clothes, she'd look like crap if you shot a fire hose directly in her face from point blank range.
Spoiler alert. Anybody would, because yeah. you blow their fucking face off. Have you like... seen civil rights footage from the 60s? What the fuck?
Wow.
How would that ever occur to anyone? A genuinely pretty girl would still look good.
Mm-mm.
Blasted in the face. With
no,
a fire
her
hose.
Eyeballs would be gone.
Dude, she like knew like four teeth would be
She'd
gone.
Be like vomiting water.
It would just be a scene from a Terrifier movie.
I don't get it.
It's just rip her face right off.
Gross.
Yeah.
Now this girl here looked as though a hose actually had blasted her, so there was no leap of imagination no. necessary to know she passed the test.
Jesus wow. Christ.
Oh. It's like a compliment and an insult.
Yeah.
All rolled into one. Pass it with an A, the he decided, salt. As she bit her lip and tapped impatiently on the queen's pawn. Okay, here goes, he said, thumping to E4. Is that a chess term?
Sure.
Yep.
She
oh, is it?
Yep.
You don't know. Why do you believe Chris?
He looks like
Chris
the kind of guy
know.
Who plays chess or knows how to.
Look at his robe.
We've
I
known
don't,
Chris for 100 years, and he's never mentioned chess.
I don't, but I have watched The Queen's Gambit.
Did they thump?
Yeah, there's letters on one side and numbers on the other, what? And some people play chess in their heads with the spaces all being like A4 or E5 and shit like that.
Is but that the what... thumping part, though.
Oh, well, that's just slamming it down. With authority.
Just like being a gym bro about it and dropping your weight.
Rattle the board. Bro.
She predictably took E5. Pretty as she was, though. Huh?
I said, yeah. I should get a chessboard.
Yeah, really complete the look.
Pretty as she was, though, she was annoying. She obviously thought she knew what she was doing, under her truly flimsy pretense that she didn't. Maybe she'd won some high school tournament or something. Whoop-dee-doo! She had no business taking over a table here. It's not like they have to rent them or pay money.
It's just public.
Just sit in the park.
God damn, Sam.
Why was she glaring at him like that? What had he done to piss her off? He'd give her hope for a few minutes and then shut her down.
Jesus.
He could really use the $20.
Match made in heaven.
I'm like, I'll just finish this chapter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He flinched a little as a clap of thunder roared overhead. He's pussy. Judging her about The air felt heavy with coming rain. He'd give her a very few minutes.
What?
I don't know.
I want it to be like a montage of them playing game after game in a heavy downpour.
In a heavy, yeah, 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 absolutely. For some reason,
like,
I'm
fuck
picturing
you, like, no, fuck you.
Just because of his, for some reason, his name's Sam Moon. I'm picturing or I'm hearing his voice as Bing Crosby. Doesn't that like kind
I
of
like
make
that.
Sense? Like,
oh, wait.
I'm Sam Moon. Hello there.
You said Sam Moon, and I started picturing Jimmy Stewart.
Oh.
That's pretty similar.
That's actually really similar. We
similar
can honestly
vibe.
Either one.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to play you in chess.
No, I don't want to hear that.
They're not
I don't
want to
hear
all.
That for the rest of the book.
All right.
You don't know how long
the
he's
rain
in this.
Starts. She was surprised. Not alarmed or anything, just a little surprised. She hadn't expected him to respond so adroitly to her opening.
Adroitly.
Adroitly.
Fuck you.
They'd
progressed quickly to the mid-game, and she'd achieved almost no advantage. Now the wind was blowing in soot-colored clouds, and thunder rolled through the sky, and she was looking at the possibility of a complicated endgame.
Oh, shit. I wonder if that's a metaphor.
He wasn't the doofus she'd imagined. That much she had to admit. She hadn't thought it possible to have perfect orthodonture and a good haircut and also be great at chess, but then she was only 17.
What?
There had to be a few things left to learn. Wow. This book.
I can't
all right.
even wrap my head around her thought process.
Were we all this aggressively... critical of each other back in the 90s? Is this just normal?
I mean, there was nothing else to worry about at that
yeah,
point.
I certainly true. Didn't have this vocabulary.
Yeah.
I would have just been like, you look like shit.
You're too hot to play chess. You look like you're probably stupid.
Let's get to the World Trade Center. Nothing will ever happen there.
She wasn't pretending anything anymore.
Oh, God,
she
do you think the
focused.
World Trade Center... Do you think 9/11 is written into these books?
I was just wondering, when did this come out?
99?
Because it was... I know, but when in 99?
Oh, yeah.
Or, well, oh, wait, no, that was...
Maybe that's when it took a turn and she got a job at the FBI.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because, like, this book series went from 99 to, like, 2005 or something, I think you said?
Yeah.
We looked it up, so definitely... It happened okay. in there.
It's gotta be a passing mention at the very least.
One of the books just starts off with, like... Then the second tower fell.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
All right. She wasn't pretending anything anymore. She was too focused on the board. All attempts at inane gee whiz posturing had fallen away. His manner had changed, too. Gonna do a reread of that. His manner had changed, too. His concentration on the game was so full. He let out these tiny, almost inaudible grunts every so often, like, huh, or, huh. He had this funny tic of drumming his fingers against his bottom lip before he made each move. She couldn't exactly remember what about him had seemed so self-satisfied. She unintentionally knocked her knee against his under the table. He glanced up. Shwing!
They
Sorry.
Both accidentally got turned on.
Sorry, she mumbled. Her face felt warm. She prayed it wasn't actually turning pink. His
it
hair had
was.
Fallen over his
was.
Forehead. She couldn't read the expression in his eyes. She commanded her own eyeballs back to the board. A fat, cold raindrop landed on her scalp. Damn!
Why couldn't she just finish this up?
It's definitely gonna, we've like, all they're been definitely there. Gonna keep playing while, my god, these chapters are so tiny.
We've yeah, all going been back there. And forth in perspective.
Oh god, yeah.
More ring.
Oh man, is my dream gonna come true? They're gonna play through the rain?
Yeah, I think so.
Sexy rain chess.
Sexy rain chess! Is there a guy, like, in the background playing saxophone?
Yes, 100%.
That's the name of the episode, Sexy Rain Chess.
Tiny drops of sweat were collecting in his hairline, bleeding into the raindrops, slapping on his forehead.
Yeah.
Drops dribbled down his neck, and his sweater was starting to smell funky.
Oh, yeah. Ew, wait, why?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, really quick, dude.
If it's wool and he's sweating and getting rained on, it probably wouldn't smell great.
He was concentrating too hard to care. The girl moved her king's bishop. Ugh! He closed his eyes briefly in disgust at himself. Why hadn't he seen the pin? What was wrong with him? He was forced to defend with a knight. That was a tempo loss. The main thing wrong with this girl was totally shocking. Wait. The main thing wrong with this girl that was totally shocking. She was not good. She was very, very, very good. Where had she come from? She couldn't be from around here because he felt sure he would have met her in the tournaments before. She had to be an...
He said tournament.
She had to be an international... Okay. She had to be an internationally ranked player. Either that or he suddenly stunk. I mean, he does. His fucking sweater's fucking up.
Yeah, he smells terrible.
He'd sacrificed material to no avail. She dismantled one of his most trusted combinations. But even so...
Boy, I wish I knew how chess worked.
Yeah, this is... the only thing more exciting than chess is reading somebody play chess.
This reminds me of when I read Casino Royale and they spent one entire chapter teaching you how to play...
Baccarat.
I was going to say backgammon, but I'm like, that's
I still
not...
don't know how.
I wanted to say Chemin de Fer, because that's also what they call it. But yeah, Baccarat. There's a whole chapter where they tell you how Baccarat is played, and I'm still like, no idea.
Still doesn't make sense.
That didn't help at all.
Not at all.
I know is Banco.
There's a paddle. I know there's a paddle. They have a little paddle, and they go like, whoop, and they like, beep, beep,
beep. And then you go, Banco, and then you order your drink. And then someone tries to kill you. I'm pretty sure it's part of the game.
You have to say it like this. Bunko. Bunko.
Oh, boy.
Let's see, where was I?
If there's one thing Becca loves more than anything, it's a Sean Connery impression.
Well, okay. But even so, it was a really exciting game. Her play was not only smart and challenging, but unorthodox. Who taught her that? Who was she? He glanced up at her. Her light hair was soaked flat with rain. Her blue eyes darkened to mirror the sky. And they were steady with concentration. She was somewhere around 16 or 17 years old. He hadn't detected any accent, which would have at least helped to explain how she was so good. It seemed like foreign players always dominated in competition. The harsh, defiant set of her face had dissolved now. Self-consciousness had fallen away. As her focus intensified, her eyes were lovely, rimmed with long, dark, wet, that's parenthetically, long, dark, wet, parenthetically, lashes. Her cheekbones were exceptionally
lashes
prominent.
Lashes are glistening.
Oh, yeah.
Her cheekbones were exceptionally prominent for a person her age. Her face was open now and almost sweet.
It feels like he's doing phrenology on her. Fuck, it's happening. All right.
He liked his women like he liked his sandwiches. Open-faced and covered in gravy.
Oh, goodness.
Raindrops stood.
That's what they call rain. Sky gravy.
Sky gravy. Yeah. You know, they say when it rains, it's because God is making mashed potatoes.
That's bizarrely sweet.
ham today. Raindrops stood on her bare arms, and her t-shirt was, She snapped her rook into the center of the action. Okay, better not to look anymore.
We know where he was looking.
He was screwing up here. Lucky for him, there weren't many beautiful girls who played chess, or he'd probably be bowling right now.
What?
What?
That's where all the ugly girls go.
I'm just like, is that his bumper sticker? It's a good thing there's not a lot of beautiful girls playing chess, or I'd be bowling right now. That doesn't make any sense. His heart was speeding with nervousness and excitement. He could feel warmth radiating from her legs so close to his. Ugh. His palms felt tingly. Think about chess, you idiot. He ordered himself. He was hard as a rock. That was really short, so I'm going to read this page too. Appropriately named, a flood.
Yeah, there was.
Do you see those lashes?
I'm going to also take a page out of John Walker's book, and whenever a chapter starts and it's all caps, I'm going to read it in all caps.
Okay.
Yes, alarming! It was now officially alarming. He was up a night and coming on strong.
Yeah, he was.
I'm just going to read all this chess stuff sexy. How had she misjudged him so badly? He was probably the best person she had ever played, except for her father, maybe, and Zolov, who was nuts. She studied his face. He was older than she, but not by much. Maybe 20. He had to be an international master, at least. Why the fuck are they both looking at each other going like, you must be an international chess master.
You couldn't possibly be American.
You can't be local.
Well, because anyone that good at sex, I mean chess, would have to be a master.
Oh, man. Internationally. She wasn't on the chess circuit, but she knew an extraordinary player from a good one. And he played, and as he played, he was becoming real to her. She didn't consider him a human before. His little ticks were so peculiar. The skin around his fingernails was ragged from being picked at too much. Tiny blue veins zigzagged under the surface of the transparent skin beneath his eyes. Ew.
Ew.
Rain plastered thick, dark cords of hair to his forehead. Now that it was no longer perfect, she could see it was beautiful. Fucking goddamn it. Suddenly, she had this powerful urge to touch the pale skin above his wrist, where she could see his pulse thumping, just like the pieces on the chessboard.
He sounds sickly.
He does.
You shouldn't be able to see someone's pulse through their skin.
You shouldn't be able to see veins under someone's eyeballs. She stared transfixed at that spot, feeling that her own heart was beating out the same rhythm. Oh, Gaia. She almost groaned out loud. Get a hold of yourself, girl.
That's what I said.
Yeah, it is.
Literally.
This was an inexplicable reaction she was having to him. Was she profoundly low on sleep, maybe? When had she last eaten? Another bolt of lightning blazed through the sky. Maybe it was the plunging barometer, the electricity in the air. When she looked back at the board, she felt dizzy and disoriented. A chess game like this one meant holding a million teetering moves and possibilities in your mind, and here, all at once, she dropped them. The crowd of pieces left on the board had gone from a thrillingly complex and significant battle in one second to a meaningless jumble the next. That was a boring page.
Chess is boring.
I know! Why are we spending so much time on chess?
I don't know. Blood rushed to her face. She tried to kickstart her memory to patch together her lost strategy, but it was as though the whole thing had existed in someone else's mind. Rain blanketed them. Steam rose from the surrounding pavement. Goosebumps pricked up and down her arms. Why had neither of them suggested giving up this ridiculous contest and going inside? Great question.
Yep.
He was looking at her, not silently, impatiently demanding her next move as she would expect. Just looking.
They're in the middle of a sex chess battle.
Yeah. Looking Elvic for chess. Something. Rain dotted his eyelashes also with diamonds and formed rivers down his cheeks. This sounds so unpleasant.
Ugh.
His eyes had taken hers and she couldn't look away. Like a rook takes a queen or whatever. Then she felt something grab hold of her chest.
His, yeah, I know. He's like, his hand.
His hand. It wasn't fear. It could
King
be.
King takes queen.
But what was it? She had to get out of there. With a flick of her index finger, she felled her precious king.
Hand to 32B.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God. That was too specific. For a high school girl.
Oh, God. Oh,
Jesus.
Well, don't make me feel gross.
You're the one that said it.
I just picked
gross
a random
thing.
Bra number out of
sure.
my head.
Sure. I'm sorry, she murmured. I have to go. She got to her feet, reaching into her bag for her wallet. He stood too. She fumbled the wet leather and pulled out a $20 bill, then jammed it in his palm.
Ew.
No, no, he told her. The bill fluttered to the ground, but neither of them stooped to get it. She was already walking, and he was hurrying alongside her, confused, surprised, stammering for a word. Wait, please, he whispered. She was almost running. She's crazy. Why doesn't she know to be a person?
She's also underage, dude.
Yeah. In her sneakers, the water squished around her toes. The rain was so loud, it filled up all of her senses. She hurried from him and from the strange perception that a million frozen feelings were about to thaw and the flood would certainly drown her. I'm not reading that.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm tired right. of reading this weird scene.
Bottomless. He watched her go, feeling a terrible tightness in his throat. What had she done to him? It had all happened in that moment, when he'd met her eyes and, like a mystic, seemed to see her past and future. Her past was haunting, marked by bottomless wounds, and the future was terrifying because it included him.
What?
Weird little interlude. Oh, another
what, he
interlude.
Better be psychic or something. And that wasn't just eye contact and they're both so socially awkward.
Oh my God.
I don't even know what to write. She runs away and nothing happens.
Yeah, right? She played.
They make eye contact and she runs away.
They have chess sex.
Yeah.
Are we going out now?
They have checks. So interlude followed by another interlude. No bad dogs. For the last 24 hours, his mind had behaved more like a badly trained dog on a too long leash.
Oh, man. Keep going, Chris.
The right to ask.
What? What?
You have to yell it.
I wish my name were Fargo. Gaia was walking so fast. Ed Fargo was having a hard time keeping up with her. Her movements were strangely jerky, and her mouth was going a mile a minute. Why is that? He had to practically shout at her because she kept getting ahead. It's a cool name, she said. You could marry me if you asked really nicely, yeah. He proposed. Yeah,
literally.
Right. What's the matter with more? He asked as they rounded the corner of Charles Street and Hudson, in case you forgot they were in New York. I don't know. Gaia's eyes weren't quite focused. She wasn't completely paying attention to what she was saying or where her feet were going. More, less, she mused absently. Hey, guileless.
We're
guileless. I like that. He was getting annoyed. Gaia, would you please slow down? I'm kind of in a wheelchair here. She glanced back at him. Oh, sorry, she mumbled. In her expression, Ed saw traces of impatience, but no embarrassment, no pity. He loved her.
Jesus.
This is Ed. Sad.
Oh, God. Everyone in this book needs to fucking get it together.
Guileless, he continued. What does it mean? Oh, you know, without guile? What does guile mean? Deceit, duplicity, dishonesty? His
character from
he slowed
Street
down
Fighter.
A bit.
Yeah. Guile? Okay.
Yeah, he was the one that did Sonic Boom.
Chris knows more about it than I do.
Anyway. I don't want to know anymore. But thank you.
She had a flat top.
Okay. She just said,
that's
Chris,
as much information
she doesn't
as
want
I can
to know anymore.
Jean-Claude Van Damme played
I know, you knew you were thinking another thing to tell me.
He slowed down a bit more. Gaia, how do you know these things? She shrugged. I'm smart. And modest, too. Modesty is a waste of time, she pronounced.
I'll keep that in mind. They passed Zuli's Bakery and the tiny store that sold homemade ravioli. A woman passed them, pushing a toy poodle perched in a baby carriage. Gaia didn't even seem to notice.
New York.
For somebody so smart, you sure bombed the physics quiz today, Ed pointed out. Yeah, well, parabolas are so simple, they're boring. Ed laughed. I'll have to remember that excuse to tell my parents the next time I get a D. Suddenly, Gaia stopped and grabbed his shoulder. What's that? Ouch, he said, and she lessened her grip on his clavicle. What?
Oh, my God.
That music! She yanked him around the corner. Do you hear it? Where's it coming from?
What the fuck?
He pointed across the street. That band we heard at Ozzy's. They practice in the basement of that building. How do you know? Because I'm smart. Gaia rolled her eyes.
Their banter What's is the awful.
It's really God.
What's the name of the band? Huh? The name of the band? Fearless.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I think that, oh wait, they were playing a song and I think she said she heard the word fearless.
Oh my God, I don't remember that. I hope she joins the band.
Oh man. Why are there no front women?
I was hoping they'd be playing like She's a Maniac. Yeah.
They're a punk band. They're playing Nazi. Was it like
Nazi punks go?
Nazi punks fuck off. Yeah.
Or they're playing Don't Fear the Reaper.
And All she's right. like, I never do.
Fearless. They're always playing around the neighborhood. Ozzy's on Friday afternoons, Doc's on Wednesday evenings, and Fully Amplified at the Flood most Saturday nights. Our local OTB takes bets on when they'll actually get signed. Gaia had completely tuned out, along with the rest of the audience.
Yeah. Oh my God, seriously.
Ha ha. Oh, ha ha. That was a funny joke, Ed pointed out. Gaia nodded dumbly. Fearless? She asked. No way. Ed shrugged. No reason to lie. He was bored with this conversation.
Make that five of us.
I have no words.
Gaia paused for another moment as slow lyrics drifted up to the street. Oh, I hope we get lyrics.
Fuck. Yes.
You have to sing them.
And I'm a stone falling deeper into your black, black ocean. Let me down.
Gaia was off again like a shot. Where are we? Damn it. I wish there was more of that song.
I know.
Where are we going now? He asked, almost breathless in his effort to catch up. I don't know. We're strolling.
We're strolling. We gotta stroll.
We're strolling as fast as we can. Oh. They strolled for a while in silence. Hey, wait a minute, he said, slowing down warily as they sailed past 6th Avenue without a pause. What?
I have a feeling we're strolling to the park.
So?
I don't want to go to the park.
Gaia looked annoyed. Why not?
PTSD.
Because innocent people are getting slashed there practically every day. Because there are evil bad guys carving swastikas.
No, reread that.
Oh! Because there are evil bald guys carving swastikas into trees. Do you watch the news?
Like, wow, that was so weirdly sweet and childish. Evil bad guys in the park.
Evil bad guys. Evil bald guys. Ed, it's broad daylight.
That doesn't stop you.
Stop me? Stop me from what? She asked.
From finding people to get into fights with,
he responded. She looked slightly abashed. What? Okay.
Let's walk down Broadway towards Soho, because we're in New York,
he suggested.
That's a place here.
Gaia was quiet, fidgeting with the threads hanging off the bottom of her jacket, but she did follow him, at least.
"What's the matter?"
he asked. "I'm trying to think of a way to apologize for the other night," she explained.
"What do you mean?"
he asked. For ruining that party you invited me to."
"You didn't ruin it,"
he said comfortingly.
"We all had a perfectly good time after you left. It was like you were never there."
She kicked his wheel.
Jesus Christ.
Gaia, Jesus. He regained control of his
Do you know
chair.
How much these are, Gaia?
"I was just kidding. I left right away. I tried to catch you, but you were too fast for me." She slowed down a little. "Really?" "Yeah, anyway, it wasn't you. It was Heather who was out of control." "You think so?" He laughed. "For once, yeah." "She's such a raving bitch," Gaia declared. Ed shook his head thoughtfully. "There's actually more to her than that." "You know her well?" Gaia asked, clearly surprised. "Sure, I went out with her for a few months."
What?
Gaia stopped cold in the middle of Baker Street. A street in New York. A truck honked loudly. "Gaia, go," Ed commanded, and she did. "No way," she stated when they were safely on the other side of the street. Ed looked at her peevishly. "You say that too much." "Sorry, but I mean it. No way." Ed held up his hands. "It's true. Heather and I went out for a while before my accident." "Wow." Gaia was obviously struggling.
Once I was in a wheelchair, she dumped me like a sack of wet bricks.
They walked for 3 blocks in silence. "Hey, Gaia," he asked finally. "Yeah?" "Are you ever going to ask me why I'm in a wheelchair?" "No," she said. "Why not?"
Something people in wheelchairs never say.
I guess if you don't hear it, you're like, that's unusual. Because usually it happens so often.
Yeah.
"Because if I do, you would have the right to ask where I lived before or why I'm a black belt in karate or what happened to my parents." "Oh," he said. "Okay. It's not because you're polite. It's because you're secretive."
Dropping the subject.
And they kept walking.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
I don't know how much more we're reading.
Where are we? More!
All right.
We'll try to get to 60%.
This chapter is called That Girl. Sam wasn't walking through the park because he wanted to see that girl. He didn't want to see that girl. She was trouble. And he had a girlfriend.
Sam!
That was the more important point. He had a girlfriend. And he was late to meet her. And even though it was almost dark and he knew he shouldn't be cutting through the park with all of the crap that was going on, he was doing it anyway. Because he's a man. But not because he wanted to see that girl.
You're going to get slashed cheating on your girlfriend with a teenager.
Oh my God.
though I think his girlfriend's also a teenager.
I don't know.
It's the same guy from the coffee shop.
She was interposing him over top of the guy in the coffee shop.
Yes, because the guy in the coffee shop was Heather's boyfriend.
Yeah, she was just like, look, a man with lips. You know who else has lips? That other man that I know.
That stranger that I masturbate to.
Although he was running late, he could count on the fact that Heather... So Heather is...
Oh.
Yeah, so it is the same guy.
Oh. I also thought... Okay, all right.
Although he was running late, he can count on the fact that Heather would be at least 20 minutes later and that she would show up with a noisy entourage.
Right, because they said Heather's dating a college guy.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Oh my God. Now I have a juicy note to write.
Yeah.
She would be all out of breath and apologize fervently for being late, as though her lateness depended on such a rare and extenuating matrix of once-in-a-lifetime circumstances that it could never possibly happen again, which is a sentence that I never want to read again.
I wish it kept going.
And the next time, she would be just as late. He should just tell her it bugged him. He was basically a punctual person, and he didn't appreciate all the dramatic entrances. Basically. He didn't love the entourage either.
Maybe date an adult woman.
Uh-huh.
But if he did tell her, she would probably listen and stop, at least for a while. And then where would he be? What could he complain about? What reason would he have for breaking up with her? Ooh, that last bit just slipped out.
Of
he hadn't
what?
Totally meant to have that thought.
Like, it's just weird that it's third person inner monologue.
Yeah.
Like the reacting like it's in his head, but it's in the third person. But
like, it's literally the book going like, ooh.
It's like seventh Sam. Person.
Oh, shit, Sam.
Sam, you dog.
Heather was gorgeous. Heather was smart. Heather was confident and funny. Heather, though only a senior in high school, mm-hmm. was the envy of all his college friends.
Ew.
She must be so easily manipulated. Heather was even capable, when she let go of her own mythology for a few minutes, of being a decent person.
What?
Dude.
Oh my god, I don't even fucking know.
But these were not good reasons for going out with a person, and he knew that in his heart. So why did he stay with her? That was complicated. It hinged on a lot of stuff about his old life and his old self, and he didn't feel like thinking about it just now.
The time his before thoughts, he discovered chess.
The before four. His thoughts wandered back to the girl. The girl. He'd certainly never thought so much about a person whose name he didn't know. His mind slipped back to her every time he gave it a moment's freedom. He kept picturing her eyes, infinite as the sky. His mind used to be so obedient, so precise. For the last 24 hours, it had behaved more like a badly trained dog on a too long leash. Did she live in the neighborhood? Where did she go to school? Would she come back to the chess tables in the park? If she did, would he try to talk to her? Would he ask her to play again? His heart rate was rising at the very thought. Okay, enough. He was so distracted, he veered off the path and nearly crashed into a sign. He looked up at it. Curb your dog, it said.
Whoa.
That was short, so Huey, read this page too.
Understood. A mistake. If she saw him, she would just change course. Gaia's eyesight was good. She would spot him before he spotted her, before any interaction needed to take place. Strictly speaking, walking through the park wasn't the smartest way to avoid him, but it was the fastest way to get home after she dropped Ed off at his house. And now that it was dark, it was by far her best chance for getting jumped or slashed by one of those neo-Nazi bastards. Jesus Christ.
Oh my god, Gaia.
She wasn't going out of her way for this guy. Usually, the park was still busy at this hour when the weather was good, but tonight it was nearly deserted. People were spooked by the reports of slashing. Lots of kids had been talking about it in school that day.
Well, we keep Gaia hearing paused. Rumors of the slashing, but yeah. No actual reports of slashing.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who's slashing. Gotten slashed.
Yeah, I heard there was a slashing.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of kids in a park writing slash fiction.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Too much slashing.
Gaia paused to take off her jacket and tie it around her waist. Slashing was such a random, mean-spirited brand of violence.
So
and the whole Nazi mythology.
Slashing.
It's so. It's gotta be a better.
Well, and like, also, like, so these Nazis, all they liked, all they do is, like, they're not killing people.
Well,
they're just slashing them.
Like, they got, like, box cutters. They're just like,
there needs to be more of a report of, like, what has actually happened. Yeah. I assume by slashing it meant just killing someone with a knife, and they were being dramatic about it, but do they mean just like slicing someone and running away?
That's what it sounds like to me.
What if this is what happened to Ed? He was
his tendons.
Oh no, they slashed his tendons.
Total accident. Could have happened to anybody.
I'm starting to think this book was the result of a bet.
What? How so?
Like I bet Francine Pascal,
our friend, yes.
Bet a friend. Like, how many times do you think I can incorporate the word slashing in a book?
And her friend said 500.
Yeah, and her friend was like, I fucking dare you.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, is that a double dog frisbee dare? And her friend was like, yeah, it is. And she's like, all right.
See, to me, this feels like Francine Watch Pascal did, you know, Sweet Valley High for, like, almost 2 decades. And then kind of like did a proto Breaking Bad where she's like, what if I write a book about the bad guy, but they're the, oh, no, but they're the so protagonist.
Obvious. It's so obvious she wrote this to
we
be
go
adapted.
Sweet Valley Low.
With all
Sweet
like
Valley
the,
Low!
With all the little asides and shit, like, it's so clear she wrote this to be adapted, and I'm kind of glad it didn't work out.
You're totally right. This yeah. reads just like it was meant to go on a, like, it's his life.
Yes.
And then we could totally spin it off into a TV show.
We, like, from the second we started reading, we've, like, with all the little weird, like, interstitials, we're like, this feels like a Guy Ritchie, like, teen girl book.
Yeah.
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 Gaia Ritchie.
Ah!
Oh, all let's right. keep going.
We gotta get more slashing in.
Yeah.
Let's see. Gaia paused to take off her jacket and tie it around her waist. Slashing was such a random, mean-spirited brand of violence, and the whole Nazi mythology was so profoundly hateful, she was particularly eager to draw it out.
That's fair.
She liked to... Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
She liked to think of herself as a trap. A walking trap.
And we appreciate that about you, Gaia.
Yes, fully encouraged.
As she dawdled in the wooded area near the dog run, she heard whispers. Oh, man. Could it be this easy? She strained her ears to hear and ambled a tiny bit closer. Oh, man, ambled.
Oh, she dawdled and ambled.
It's a huddling and ambling. After all that strolling.
She couldn't really make out the conversation, but she did see the flash of a knife. Not a blade this time, a real knife. Four guys were huddled together, probably plotting their next attack. Me, choose me, she thought.
Holy shit.
Jeez, what a wacko she'd become.
Become? You are one.
Just like, I think you're just barely catching up here there, Gaia.
Yeah.
She made as much noise as possible while still appearing naive and oblivious. She really hoped none of them would recognize her from the previous run-in.
She walked as slowly as she could without actually stopping, and yet within moments found herself on the open, brightly lit sidewalk of Washington Square West, untouched, in New York. So it wasn't her lucky night. Maybe tomorrow.
Oh, right, because that lady warned Marco to keep his Nazis away from her.
Oh, yes. They're not going to do it. She felt sulky and suddenly quite alone.
I really wanted to get into a fight with Nazis tonight.
It was weird, this business of having a friend, she decided, thinking of her long, aimless walk with Ed, the stroll. It made being alone less fun. Yeah. Gaia looked up. It's called having a chum.
I've tasted friendship, and I can never go back.
Yeah. Gaia looked up and saw... Gaia looked up and saw a figure crossing the street toward her. It was a girl, and she appeared to be heading straight into the park. Gaia's mind flashed to the knife she'd just seen, and she bent her steps toward the girl.
What? Man, I hope that girl has a knife.
She didn't realize until she was a few feet away exactly which girl it was. Is that Gaia? A not friendly voice demanded. It was Heather. This really wasn't Gaia's lucky night. Gaia was immediately struck by the fact that Heather was alone. Where was the famed boyfriend? Where were the adoring, fashionably dressed friends? So does she not know that that guy is her boyfriend?
No.
Okay. Oh, listen, Heather, she began matter-of-factly. You probably shouldn't. Heather bristled and walked on. Leave me the fuck alone, bitch! Guy wasn't sure what to do. Follow her? Heather, I really don't think... Get away from me! Heather snapped. I don't care
what you
think.
Just let Heather die. You'll have right? Sam all to yourself.
Let her get slashed.
Oh, man.
Guy She's talking all the slashing.
Guy had intended to be helpful, but now she was angry. Let the stupid girl get slashed!
Oh, God!
Damn, Gaia! It wasn't Gaia's responsibility. If anybody deserved it, Heather did. No, she didn't.
You
Nobody.
Spilled coffee on her and didn't apologize.
Nobody deserves to get slashed by Nazis.
Yeah.
Ugh. Gaia's temper smoldered as she continued to cross the street. She was just about to turn onto Waverly, a street in New York when she spotted more familiar faces. They were all they were all there. They were all they were all three Heather acolytes. They were all three Heather acolytes.
You can do it.
I don't. Okay, no, I can't. One was named Tina, she believed.
And thus it was so.
Yeah, I know. I believe it. The other was a girl whose name she didn't know. You look like your name is probably Melissa.
I just looked down where I wrote Sweet Valley Low, quoting Huey, and it made me laugh to myself.
Oh, man. The other was a girl whose name she didn't know, and the third was the good-looking guy from the cafe.
Okay. So, that not him? Is it him?
I don't know. Maybe it's one of their boyfriends and not him. I don't know.
This time she was just going to keep walking, but one of them stopped her. "You're Gaia, right?" the non-Tina girl asked. "Yeah. Have you seen Heather by any chance?"
T-not?
Gaia looked from one to the next. This didn't seem like a trick or anything. "Yeah, I just saw her about a minute ago. She was cutting through the park." Gaia gestured in the general direction. "Thanks," they all said. They weren't oozing warmth, but they seemed perfectly friendly. "Hey, T-not?" Gaia called over her shoulder. They all stopped and turned. "You really shouldn't go through the park. There's a bunch of whacked out guys in there, and at least one of them has a knife." Tina and her friends looked surprised and alarmed in varying degrees. "Shit, okay, right." No one asked her why she walked away from Heather being in there and left Heather with the fucking knife Nazis.
She's like, but also fuck Heather.
Yeah. "Thanks," the guy said again. Gaia watched with satisfaction as they skirted the park, staying on the lighted sidewalk. See, she'd done her good deed. She wasn't a bad person. She could go home in peace.
Nope.
Because fuck Heather.
Nope, because it canceled, the two things canceled each other out.
She
so
saved
you
all
did
those
nothing.
Other people yeah. and... I thought she was going to say, like, hey, you might want to go get Heather. Yes. She's about to get fucking slashed.
No, she yeah. wants Heather to get yeah. slashed. That's fucking crazy.
Oh, boy, are we... Oh, God, there's going to be a weird end chapter.
Up to you.
I don't want to read that.
No, I meant up to you if you want to keep going.
No.
Okay.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I have to take a shower and get up early.
Yeah, Becca was returned to office.
I'm in the RTO life now.
So now you get up at 5 a.m. Bump, 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 bump.
I didn't feel like doing it, that's but fine. You did a really good job.
That's fine. I'm usually the only one who does it. Boy. Huey, what do you think of Fearless?
I love it. I am all in. You were right. It's unhinged in a totally different way.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And I remembered almost none of it from my childhood. Yeah. All I remembered was that there was a teenage girl that didn't have the fear gene. I did not remember there were so many Nazis.
Oh my God. Well, like, yeah, you had remembered and
so
recommended.
Much slashing.
So yeah. much slashing. You'd recommended this book, and I remember, yeah, you were just like, boy, I hope it's good. And like, man, we're on a streak. We're on a hot streak because this yeah. is amazing.
It's so good. Oh, let me write down that Gaia leaves Heather to get slashed.
To die. Yeah. To her
I love that
face.
Your version of Heather is like the shoes. Oh my God, shoes!
Kelly.
Kelly.
Yeah.
Kelly loves shoes.
Get
the fuck away from me!
Yeah,
back when YouTube
let me borrow that
was
top.
Pure.
Yeah. Let me borrow that top. Oh my God, that's some old school shit. I saw the funniest thing the other day. We were in Target and.
Oh, wait, what location? I'm sorry. That's not good for the podcast, but don't close it yet.
Yeah. I'll look at it okay. after. Yeah. We were just like browsing through Target and we saw a bunch of Skibidi toys, like Skibidi toilet toys. Like they had, it's just straight up toys for Skibidi toilet. And both of us were just like, what the, but like, you know, exasperated, like what it fuck is, what is it? And I looked it up because I just like, I think I literally Googled what the hell is Skibidi toilet, and I found someone on Reddit have the best description of it, and it was not a description of Skibidi toilet, it was just someone saying if you're trying to figure out what Skibidi toilet is as a like a millennial, try explaining Strong Bad to a boomer. And I was like, fine. Okay. You know what? Fine. Yeah, I get it.
You
fine.
Got me.
You got me.
Email.
Yeah.
And now what's it seems scary and weird to me.
Trogdor. I'm like, yeah, I can't do that. I can't talk to my mom and tell her about Charlie the Unicorn or fucking Salad Fingers. Like, yeah.
My dad would get actually mad at me if I tried to.
I know. Yeah. Well, I get angry looking at Skibbity Toilet Shit and I'm like, I get it though. I get it now. Fuck.
Oh, man.
Mold. Yeah.
Age comes for us all.
Yep.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it should, but somehow it's 2025, so I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
That's not a real year.
No, nothing's real.
Are you guys watching Severance? Because I just found out the guy who plays...
Yes.
The guy who plays Milchick is a year younger than me. And I'm like, what the fuck?
What? Wait, how old are you? I don't know how old you are.
I'm 40.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're younger than me.
Yeah.
He's me and Chris's age.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. And he's also from Maryland.
Eventually.
Oh, what?
He's
really?
From Maryland?
What?
Yeah. The dude who plays Milchick is from Maryland. He graduated in 2003 from I don't remember what it is, but somewhere in Maryland, yeah.
I know that he was I don't know if he is.
So he's still older than me then. And Becca.
Do you listen to the Severance podcast?
No.
It's pretty good. I feel like half of it's kind of whatever because they just like recap the episode, and so if you've watched the episode, you're like, this is kind of dumb. But like they'll have people from the show on, and they go in depth on certain things, and it's really fun. And like they will do like behind the scenes stuff, and they had him on an episode, and he's so like charming. he's so not scary.
A clip of him on a talk show. I think he was on Colbert or something.
Yeah.
Wait, Colbert? Yeah. I don't know. He was talking about the Swedish word.
Oh, yeah.
Grashapon or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, Grashapon or something.
But apparently it was a made-up word.
Yes.
So he was trying to figure out how to pronounce it. And, like, he, like, phonetically figured out how to pronounce it in Swedish. But then he apparently loves the Golden Girls, which I never watched. But apparently Betty White's character would always say words in Swedish really weird. So then he took the word and said it like Betty White would say it, and that's how they ended up with how he said that word.
Oh my god, that's awesome. Amazing. Well, yeah, he like, his whole entire like backstory as a person, as an actor, is so fascinating. So if like, yeah, if you find that the episode of the Severance
Raised
podcast,
in Largo, Maryland, I don't even know where that is.
I don't either. But he like,
name, like Tillman Tolbrook, or
it's like Trammell something.
Trammell Tillman.
Like he was really like active in like the church scene growing up, and was like acting in like church stuff. And then it was something like
got out of it.
It was something like,
oh wow, that's like right outside of DC.
But he had like a bunch of careers because he tried to act, and like I don't remember if it was like his dad or like someone was just like, you're a bad actor, like you can't do it. So he tried to act and then like didn't, and then did a million different careers and then tried to act again and then got cast in Severance. It's the fucking craziest thing.
Oh my
That's
God.
Awesome. And it's I'm going to find that episode. That sounds really cool.
It's really great. And it's the same thing with the guy who created Severance. That's like the only thing he's done. He's just like a random guy who like went to LA. He worked at a fucking door factory, which is why there is that scene at a door factory in one of the episodes. He literally worked at a door factory and wrote the pilot to Severance while doing that. And then, like, it got sold to Ben Stiller. And now the guy is, like, fucking crazy, you know, successful. Because it's
the best
show on television.
I mean, it's the best show in, like...
It's the fucking best.
Years!
God
like,
damn, it's
like,
so good.
Oh, man. I love
it's
it so
wrong.
Much.
It's wrong how good it is.
It does make me angry.
It's wrong.
How good it
like,
is.
Like, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you make a show this good?
It's the gall.
And that last episode, no spoilers, but like, fuck you.
Dude.
Like, dude, you learned so much about a particular character and their backstory with so little dialogue.
It's fucking crazy.
And it's like,
yeah.
Fuck you.
It's a beautiful show. And
it is. And like, that most recent episode, like, just the shots are so beautiful. Like, I would want to just like visit that town.
They shot that in Newfoundland because I wanted to know where the fuck they shot that, and they shot it way the fuck up in Canada. Yeah.
And then it's like the episode ends and you see directed by Ben Stiller and you're just like, what?
Ben?
The guy who did Cable
Zoolander?
Guy?
Which
Zoolander.
I personally love Zoolander and its sequel.
I didn't like the sequel.
you.
But it's just like, come on, man.
Did you call it the Z-quel?
No. But I wish I did.
Just take the compliment. Yeah, take the word. Yes, I did call
very,
it the
very quick Zoolander 2 story.
Oh,
Chris!
No.
Watching it early on a Saturday morning. And I was about like 3/4 of the way through it. And then the person I was living with at the time woke up. And I was like, I'm starting this over because you need to see this. And
you are probably Zoolander.
That's not a Zoolander 2 story. That's a Christopher story.
Yeah. You're the that movie's biggest fan. Ben Stiller would love to meet you.
I would love to meet Ben Stiller.
Yeah, we got a stream and a half today.
We got a stream and a half. Oh, shit. Well, thank you, Huey, for coming back and reading more silly nonsense with us.
It's my pleasure. I love doing it.
We love having you, and we'll have you back again when we do something else that's crazy. We should have you back for an Animorphs.
Oh, cool.
You want to talk about...
We haven't done one of those in a while.
Yeah, that's some body horror shit. Huey, do you have anything to plug for listeners?
No.
Okay. That's fine. I always ask, but, you know, you don't have...
I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm just living.
You should plug the other episodes of this show that you're on.
Oh, yeah, go check those out. Those are a lot of fun. Just, like, listen to The Eyes of Kid Midas. It's a completely insane story, so...
Yeah. Chris, plug Sketchy Show real quick.
All right. So, if you're interested in me and Jonathan's shenanigans, and also returning champion John Walker on this show, who usually closes out the last chapters of this show, check out The Sketchy Show, which is us improvising sketches, and then Jonathan goes and edits them and adds sound effects and all that stuff and makes it fucking magical.
Stop
and
saying
it,
that
it's,
part.
He appreciates
it's really something
you.
Awesome.
I know he does. Oh, boy. Yeah. Sketchy Show. This show Below Grade Level and The Sketchy Show you can find wherever you find podcasts, and be sure to follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook and Below Grade Level on Instagram and TikTok for fun clips and shit, and that's about it. Join us next time as we continue reading Fearless and find out whether or not Heather got slashed in the park.
Poor Heather.
Oh, poor Heather. Holy shit.
Slashing will occur.
Yeah, I think so. That's it for this episode. We love you. Bye.
Bye.
Below Grade Level is a Cactus Radio production. You can contact us at podcast@cactusrodeo.com. Subscribe and follow on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify, and follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more entertainment and updates.